Fads come and go, and nowhere more than in the world of weight loss. That's why Noom's weight management programs are made to last. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up for your trial today.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba. I'm going to say wrapping up our team-by-team, 30-team season previews to get you ready for the fantasy baseball season. It's been fun. I've really enjoyed it. It's been a lot of work, but I've enjoyed going team-by-team. I've learned something pretty much every episode. It's helped me get to know the player pool even more. And this wasn't on purpose. Some might think it was. 29th team was the Dodgers. 30th team was the Giants. Not on purpose. Trust me. It's just how the cookies crumble. But to help me break down this amazing baseball team out of the Bay Area, one of the best teams in baseball every single year, you can find them over at Gaining the Edge Fantasy, a gentleman I get to work with, which is pretty awesome. He's one of the, I call us the four horsemen of the apocalypse, or whatever you want to call it, the baseball world, taking it over there, Gaining the Edge. Go patreon.com/GTE Fantasy to go check that out. And he's on Twitter at @Roto_Nino. Jorge Montanez, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, man. I've really enjoyed these team previews you've been doing. I saw the Royals one just dropped, so I'm going to check that one out after. And I'm just excited to be here with you to talk about our Giants. How exciting that's going to be, I'm not too sure. But, I mean, it's been a heck of an offseason.
That was a professional pause right there, folks. Not even know if it was intentional, but it was like, yeah, well, we'll see how excited it is. But we love our Giants, but I think we're also realistic in this one that it's not quite what it once was, especially in terms of fantasy. It's just a team they pieced together to make it work in real life baseball. Fantasy, little different situation. But I know what you're up to for the most part these days. Why don't you let the listeners know what you got going on, like what you're your plans are as we're getting to ramp up a fantasy baseball season.
Yeah, just, you know, getting stuff done over at Gaining the Edge. You know, that's been going really well with you and Curlin and Simeon. So it's just was kind of a perfect blend for the four of us. And so, going to get a closer chart done and ready before the season, and maybe just knock out some articles here as we the deeper we go into draft season. So yeah, just been staying busy. You know, work's been keeping me busy. Wedding planning right now, getting married in April, so that's been a lot. So it's been just kind of taking it easy. Haven't stopped drafting though, that's for sure.
You are, you know, some people always make fun of like the fishes of the world and the that draft a lot. I think it's because Jorge's just quiet. Guy's always drafting, like, because like we see it in our chat between me, you, Simeon, and Curlin. I'm like, Jorge's always drafting. If you throw like a league in the Discord, sure, I'll get in. Like,
I can't say no.
I love it, I absolutely love it. And he's sharp as heck. Like, I've been next to Jorge in many drafts over the last few years, and it sucks. That's all I'm gonna say, because he's very, very good and not afraid to throw ADP out the window, which is a beautiful thing. It's a trait that not everybody can do. They say they want to do it, but they can't. And Jorge definitely can. So, yeah, if you're not following him for some weird reason and you're following me, make sure you do. And his work over there is pretty darn outstanding. Game of the Edge. It's going to be a fun season as we keep ramping up over there. And, you know, you can just make fun of Curlin if you want to join the Patreon. It's always good, too.
That's right.
Let's talk Giants baseball for a bit here. Let's start with just, you know, one of the names that is kind of polarizing and exciting when it comes to fantasy baseball this year. And I know I'm team Thairo Estrada, and it's it seems like more and more people are slowly getting to be team Thairo, where early on I was like, no, you're crazy, you can't do this, can't do that. And I'm not disagreeing with some of those takes, but I'm just kind of thinking he can type thing. His ADP is about 171 over the last 2 weeks, multi-position eligibility. We saw the power kind of break out last year. The speed was amazing in 140 games. What are you thinking for 2023?
Yeah, there's a lot to like with Thairo. I think the price is more than fair here. Really like where he's going, that the dual second base shortstop eligibility. You kind of notice, man, like shortstop is deep, but there's so many good players at the position. But they're all going, you know, you got like the top like 20 guys going in the top 200. And so especially like in like DC formats and stuff, you could find yourself, you know, getting into the reserve rounds and like with only having one shortstop on your roster. So any guy with that's going to be playing every day that has that shortstop eligibility, I think that's going to come in handy. So yeah, I there's a lot to like here. The contact rate is great. He's got speed. I'm not too sure that I buy the power, but I think he can do like a solid, you know, dozen homers. And I like that, you know, we've seen the Giants like be one of the more like analytical teams, and they're always looking for, you know, they're always looking for how to take advantage of matchups and let players play to their strengths. And so I saw like with the Giants Fan Fest, Gabe Kapler kind of mentioning with the new rules and with the larger bases that base running is going to be a big part of their game. And so I think with Thairo going as late as he is here, I think he's a really good target for speed. And I think maybe the projections are a little light on the stolen bases. I could definitely see him going 20 plus easily.
100% with you. That's why I like him. I think there's definitely a 20% or 20 plus stolen base guy in here. And those comments that Gabe made, like, as much as I like to make fun of Gabe, and a lot of my non-Giants friends make fun of me for having Gabe as our manager, he is very analytical. And that was a big point, like you said, he made about the bases, that they're going to run a ton. And Thairo's kind of been mentioned that that benefits him. And, you know, they're going to lead him off, which is big. I like how they even want to play him in the outfield. So they're trying to find every way to keep him on the diamond, which is, mm-hmm. is very nice. That they want him in that lineup. And the power is the tough one. That's the one that people will like fight back with me on, and I can't argue against it, because you look at the, you know, the barrel rate with 4.4, hard hit 30.6. That's tricky. I do like to point out, you know, 109.3 max EV, the best of his career, is promising. And I think it was like Eno Saris and DVR a couple of years ago on Rates and Barrel, when Thairo was still in the minors, they're pointing out his minor league Statcast numbers. And again, PCL, Pacific Coast League, for those that don't know, ball flies, so that's a thing. But I'm hoping there's more there when it comes to Thairo. But still, if he can give me 12 to 15 with 20 plus bags at this point, I'm all in. It's gonna be 27, so I love it. The eligibility, like you mentioned, I'm a big fan at that point in the draft. And another thing that you mentioned there that I've been trying to like bring home to people is the shortstop position is deep, yes. But it's a very like top heavy deep, because it disappears, like you're saying. Once you get to a certain mm-hmm. part of the draft, it's gone. And then that shortstop position that's there, it's just like, ooh, what just happened? And yep. that's where it gets a little different. So yeah, 100% with you on that. I wanted to bring that comment back up for the listeners real quick. It's a real thing that it's not what it used to be, it feels like. So keep that in mind. Oh yeah, let's talk Mike Yastrzemski. Yaz. Not the season we were hoping for from Yaz, probably not the season he was hoping for Yaz, hitting 214, but he did hit 17 home runs still. That was promising. Walked a fair share. ADP's at 353 right now, Jorge. I think I know your thoughts on this from drafts I've seen you draft. I'm intrigued at 353, I'll be honest.
Oh, I love his price here at 353. Yeah. He's going to end up being one of my most rostered players, just because of the cost here. I mean, you're going to be hard pressed to find a guy with everyday playing time in the outfield, as thin as outfield feels this year, going this late. So, yeah, I'm all in on Yaz this year. I love the price. just looking at his profile, I mean, it's been, other than like the results, like the batting average, I mean, it's been as consistent as they come. His strikeout rate has hovered, you know, right around 24 to 26%, right in between. This last year's at 25%. He's always shown good plate discipline, double digit walk rates. His barrel rates, I mean, it is like copy and paste here. 10%, 10%, 10%, 11%. His hard hit rate, 40%. And so I think what we've seen with Yaz since he debuted for the Giants, I mean, we've seen, like, we knew the BABIP wasn't going to sustain. Like, he was putting up like really high BABIP numbers first couple years. And we've seen him, and he's going to be someone who could benefit from the shift ban, because we saw a trend with him. Starting in 2021, he was getting shifted a lot more. And I think we saw an approach adjustment here where he started hitting a lot more fly balls. And so I think on top of the BABIP regression we were already going to see, I think that just kind of played into it a little bit more, where he was hitting more fly balls that was keeping that BABIP low. And so I'm really curious to see if with the new shift rules, if that approach changes again, if he maybe starts hitting a few more line drives, where he doesn't have to hit so many fly balls and just kind of swing for the fences every time. So I'm really interested in Yaz. I think, you know, he has 20 homer power, and he's 9 for 10 the last two seasons on the Bates pads. So I think he could be someone who we see go from 4 to 5 steals to maybe he's chipping in 7, 8, 9 steals. So I think, you know, if you have someone that can go 20 and 10, even with the low batting average, I don't think he's going to bounce back to the 270, 290 that he was hitting his first two seasons. But if we can get a 240, 250 batting average, I think there's a pretty good chance of that. And he's going to play, I could see him maybe shifting over to a corner against lefties and dropping down in the lineup, but I think he should probably hit in the top third against righties. So I think just for everything he's going to provide, I think he's a pretty good value where he's going.
Yeah, I'm 100% on board with you. I think Yaz plays a ton. They want him for his glove out there. He's not as bad a hitter as it's been lately. So I'm with you on that one. I think it's definitely a pretty nice price tag on the Giants center fielder this season. Mitch Haniger, one of the new Giants, because we screwed up on everything else. He comes in with an ADP of 179, you know, 11 home runs last year in 57 games. He's only had two seasons of over 100 games in his career. So it's like a mixed bag. When he plays a full season, Jorge, he's amazing. He doesn't do that very often. So what's your thoughts on Mitch Haniger in his first season in San Francisco?
Yeah, he's another guy who's been, you know, pretty consistent as far as like his pace and when he's on the field. He's pretty consistent. You know, you're going to get about a 250 hitter with about a 30 homer pace when he's playing. And so, I mean, I haven't been able to take the jump there with Haniger, maybe because I've been doing more DCs than like Fab Leagues. But maybe as we start doing like Fab Leagues over the next month, I may be more inclined to take a chance on Haniger, because I think just with the offensive landscape, power is going to be a rare commodity, especially going at this stage in the draft. And so I think Haniger could very well provide that. We know Oracle Park plays a little bit better for right-handed hitters as far as power goes than lefties trying to hit it out into the cove. So yeah, I like the price here for Haniger. Me playing a lot more like draft and hold formats where we can't, the no pickups or anything, can't drop, make drops. I haven't been able to take the risk there at that price, but I do like the profile here at this price.
Yeah, we're kind of in the same boat. Like, I think I maybe have one share of Haniger. Mm-hmm. It's just I have trouble in these draft and hold formats to take the chance on him, as you're saying. So if he stays healthy, he's a beast. I'm not worried about the ballpark. He did it in Safeco, so San Francisco doesn't bother me one bit for Haniger. So I'm intrigued in that regard. I'm just curious on the health, which we all are, and we have to hope it pans out. Jock Jams, Jock Peterson, coming in at an ADP of 251, which is kind of lower than I expected off of 23 home runs, 274. They're trying them at first base as well, which kind of surprised me. It's just insurance, Lamont Wade insurance. But Jock is Jock. Like, the average, I don't know if that's sustainable, but the power is legit, and he's just doing his thing by the bay. Are you interested in Jock this year?
Yeah, I'm more likely to take Jock at his price than maybe Haniger at his, right here at 250, because Jock is someone who, I mean, even on a strong side platoon, it could still hit 25 homers. He's still got that in him. And so, yeah, I'm with you. I do think that we see probably a drop in the batting average. I don't see him hitting 274. I think last year was kind of a season where like kind of everything went right for Jock when he was playing. 15% barrel rate was just incredible. 51.8% hard hit rate, both career highs. So I'm not sure, you know, maybe we see, I'm not sure if he can sustain that, but yeah, I think like I mentioned before, like power is hard to come by this year. Could be something that we're all chasing. And so at this price, yeah, I like Jock.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. He's much more intriguing to me this year. As long as we both said, people need to realize he's not going to hit 274 probably. So keep that in mind, but power's legit. He's darn fun to watch. So I'm on board with that one, especially if he somehow gets first base, because we'll talk Lamont Wade. As much as I love Wade, he just can't stay healthy right now. So there's definitely a time and we might see Jock play a couple weeks at first base. So that wouldn't surprise me one bit. Let's go to one of the other new Giants, and Michael Conforto. His ADP is around 245. Hasn't played in a couple seasons, Jorge. And for that reason, I'm still terrified to draft him. Like, even certain reports are saying they don't know if his shoulder's even 100% yet and stuff. It's a weird, weird situation. What's your thoughts on Conforto?
There's no I in team, but there is one in Indeed, and that's the hiring platform that you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy, because Indeed does the hard work for you. They show you the candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately after you post, so you can hire faster. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. And support the show by saying that you heard it on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, I'm right there too. The thing is, I have no idea what to expect. No idea what to expect with Conforto, how he's going to bounce back. I mean, yeah, we're hearing right now that, you know, he's still in the late stages of his rehab. And so, yeah, I mean, just give me Yaz 100 picks later, right? I mean, I don't know what to expect here from Conforto. And we know that the Giants, like, you know, I mentioned earlier, like they're going to be they're a team that just puts guys in the best positions to succeed. Conforto, like Yaz, left-handed hitters, they have really similar career numbers against left-handed pitching. I could definitely see Yaz moving to a corner spot against lefties, and where Austin Slater can play center field, and maybe Conforto sitting against most left-handers. So, yeah, I'm just playing time's kind of unsure. Not really sure what you're getting at this point. I just haven't been able to take him.
Yep, 100% with you. It's, as a Giants fan, I'm hoping he's healthy and amazing, but I have no clue what to see from Conforto at that ADP. There's like pitchers I want. There's other outfielders I want. There's just, it ain't happening at this point for me. Now, a player I'm intrigued by, and his name has been mentioned more and more, Daniel Prepas has been mentioning David Villar. This is a guy we got to see a bit last year, Jorge, come up in the minors and just show ridiculous power, 9 home runs and AAA at 27 home runs. Previous season hit 20 home runs in AA. He's hit for average throughout most of that time. There's some red flags potentially, but he's a young ball player. He'll be 26 this year. ADP's at like 445 right now. And all reports out of San Francisco are, this is the dude we want to be our starting third baseman. It's up to him to take the reins, but we want him to be our starting third baseman. So what's your thoughts on David Villar?
Yeah, I mean, I love what we've been hearing out of Giants camp so far is that, you know, they want him to play everyday third base. I think it's probably going to be best for that defensive infield that he is able to stick there at third base. he kind of profiles, like, if you just want like a, like, he kind of profiles like a Matt Chapman, a Eugenio Suarez type. Gonna strike out a lot, but hits a lot of fly balls. He's gonna have a decent barrel rate. So yeah, I do think he's, you know, really, really cheap power. Potentially playing every day third base. I mean, he is where he's going, you know, he's definitely like a DC type pick, where I've been getting him, just like, you know, I need an extra third. I need a third, you know, third baseman, that's going to get playing time and with some upside. And so, yeah, I think there's definitely upside here with VR. I would not expect a good batting average, but he gets on base, should be in the lineup, going to provide power. So, yeah, I think he's a good depth pick at third base.
Yeah, I've been snagging him up as a third baseman as well in a lot of draft and holds. I'm a big fan of that scenario, so I'm hoping it continues to pan out, and I hope he sticks there because he would be a power source the Giants are missing outside of Jock and maybe Haniger if he stays healthy. There's a lot of lack of power, so it'd be nice to have VR to help maybe clean some things up there. And the defense, like you mentioned, would be a plus. If the strikeout rate jumped to 32%, so the Suarez and Chapman comps are pretty nice, actually, when you look at the overall hitting profile. I like that one quite a bit. Mentioned him earlier, let's talk Lamont Wade Jr. This is a guy that, when healthy 2 years ago, was really, really solid. Couldn't stay healthy at all last year, so he really, really struggled. ADP of almost 500, supposed to be the starting first baseman for the most part, likely a platoon situation. What are your thoughts on Wade going into 2023?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, he kind of battled through a ton of issues last year, some hip issues, knee issues, side issues. So I don't really want to read too much into what he did last year. We saw like the barrel rate and the hard hit rate in particular kind of dip, and I think that probably had a lot to do with the issues he was trying to work through. But if he's healthy, I mean, yeah, I think there's a lot to like here with Wade. He's going to be a very strict platoon. I mean, he just cannot hit lefties. Like, you know, a lot of these guys, we're going to, like, a lot of these Giants players, almost kind of like Rockies players, where you have to like manage the matchups. You have to manage the Rockies, like, on the road. You probably have to manage these Giants players, like, if you're drafting them in these drafting holds. Like, I think they're pretty decent picks where, you know, if you have the time to kind of work the matchups, if the Giants have a heavy righty schedule coming up, I think Lamont Wade is someone who can maybe even lead off or hit, you know, in that top third against right-handers. I know I see in roster resource right now, they have Tyro kind of just as the everyday leadoff man, but Tyro did struggle a bit against right-handers. He did hit lefties much better. So I could definitely see Lamont getting back near the top of the lineup against righties, just because he's always shown solid plate discipline. And not a big like strikeout rate. So, and he's got some power. There's a lot to like here. So I do like him as a DC pick. Like, if you want to just like a depth at, cause he does have first base and outfield eligibility. So if you just need a depth bat that you could throw in there against righties, if you need to, I think he's a solid, really late pick in these, drafting holds.
Yeah, no, that's going to be a trend with most of these Giants, like you said. A lot of platoon situations, a lot of later picks, a lot of drafting holes, a lot of streaming, not a lot of everyday guys. We kind of hit on a couple of them earlier, but there's going to be relevance throughout the season, just not like guys are going to just glom to and want to lock into your lineups at all times. And that'll lead us again to, if you're thinking draft and hold third or fourth shortstop, just because he'll play every day, Brandon Crawford, ADP of like 403. He had that one amazing season. I think we all knew as Giants fans, like, that's probably a one and done thing. We thought maybe a little better than 9 home runs and 1 steal last year, but that's all we got. And he was hurt a lot last year too. And that's the thing. He's getting older. He's 36. Health will be a concern. Another reason why Thyro is going to get a lot of playing time. We'll talk about a couple other guys. Like, they're going to give Crawford his rest, but are you interested in a guy like Brandon Crawford? Obviously in the deepest of leagues.
Yeah, just trying to like separate my fandom here, just because I mean, Crawford, we've seen him come up since he was a
forever baby. Giant, man. Forever Giant.
That's right. Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, I absolutely love Brandon Crawford. You know, he's as far as from a fantasy perspective, I mean, there's not a whole lot he's going to provide. The only real point that to make here is like, yeah, he is going to be in there at shortstop most days. So, And shortstop, you know, like you said, it dries up. The playing time dries up because, I mean, it's such a good position. There's so many of the best players playing shortstop. And all those guys are going like at the top of the drafts and stuff. And so, yeah, you need an extra shortstop in draft and holds that you could plug in case for injuries. I mean, then he's a decent pick there in draft and holds, but I don't think he's going to be provide much more value besides that.
Yeah, 100% with you on that one. Just hoping, I kind of hope he says this is his last season. Let's put it that way. I'd like to see him kind of go out because he was angry when they were going after Correa. He was not wanting to move to third base, and he said he wants to retire a Giant. So let's just kind of wrap this one up here. Let's go to the catching position where things are interesting. Joey Bart is scheduled to be the guy. I think they want him to be the guy, but they're also kind of letting him know through coach speak that, hey, leash is short, kid, figure it out. It's been a rough go for him in his little stints with the Giants. His ADP is 356. You have Roberto Perez. You have a Rule 5 pick that people are really, really interested in Sable as well, who's shown some decent minor league numbers. So how are you looking at this between Bart and the other catchers for the Giants?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's just reading between the tea leaves here. I mean, it seems like it's like a make or break season for Bart. They kind of need him here to get going. If he's going to, you know, solidify his long-term outlook there with the team, because it hasn't been pretty. Hasn't been pretty for him in the major league so far. You know, it's just been struggling to make contact. I do think that, you know, they're going to give him every opportunity. But like you said, they brought in some guys. Roberto Perez, Austin Wins, both, you know, solid backstops. Blake Sable is really interesting. He did hit for some good power last year in the minors. 19 home runs, 10 stolen bases. Now, he does play outfield as well. It's going to be really interesting to see this play out. Where Bart is going, I haven't drafted him yet. Right now for me, it's just more of a hope that things could start clicking, because it looked like things were starting to click for him in August last year, and then they came back crashing down in September. But yeah, if he can just find a little bit of consistency and I mean, you know, he's got pedigree, has good, you know, has posted good numbers in the minors. It's just, yeah, he's got to get it done. And I think they're definitely just trying to light a fire under him right now.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. Like, at first, I'm like, oh, no, he's done. But then I sat back and thought, I'm like, they're literally, like you said, lighting a fire. Like, hey, here it is, kid. This is it. Like, figure it out. Like, this is your chance. We've gone back and forth. We've let guys take your spot. We're going to let them take it for good pretty soon if you don't figure this out. Like, we got other guys in the system. So it's going to be his job on opening day unless things just get horrific, I think. Unless things just, like the worst spring training alive. But he's got to figure it out pretty quick. So, and one thing that might help him, we'll see, is, you know, you talk about the analytics and the new, like that pitch comm thing or whatever it is. They're saying a lot of the Giants might call their own games just through the pitch comm, which could be big for Barks. That was one of the big adjustments he had to make that he's been struggling with, is calling a game. So that could help him a ton as well. We'll see how that goes. But I'm interested in Sable in super, super deep leagues just because he's a Rule 5 pick. I can draft and hold like super late. And I'm not drafting Bart right now because I'm terrified, but I'm really hoping he figures it out, because the hype train was real for Joey Bart if you're a Giants fan. So please make it happen. I'm going to group these last two together here because they're both platoon guys that should play a decent amount, but there's question marks. You have JD Davis, you have Wilmer Flores. We've seen Flores play a ton and do very well for the Giants. JD Davis, everyone talks about the hard hit rates. It's undeniable, crushes left-handed pitching. It just, neither one of them a starting job, but they should play a decent amount. I guess it's like a platoon, like weeks they face lefties situation. But how are you looking at Davis and Flores?
Yeah, I think, again, like a lot of these guys, you know, draft and hold type picks where you're going to stream them. I mean, we have seen Flores kind of, you know, have a better all around offensive profile just throughout his career. Doesn't strike out a ton, you know, makes good contact, has been better against lefties, but, you know, just 2 years ago had a good, you know, hit 262, 18 home runs. Last year, he actually got 600 plate appearances, hit 19 home runs, only hit 229. I do think, like, if we see have like some injuries, I can see Wilmer going back to like kind of just being in there every day. You hope that they wouldn't, because you don't really want these guys playing the field as much. So yeah, I don't really know, like, as far as like not all too interested outside of like drafting holds. JD Davis, I mean, when he gets a hold of one, he gets a hold of one. He's good hard hit rates, but swings and misses a ton. Yeah, these are for me just gonna be guys that deep leagues, streaming against left-handers, but not much more than that.
Yep, 100% with you on that one. Not in my bag right now. Let's head to the mound, where there's some fun here for the Giants, at least for fantasy. You got Logan Webb leading the way here, ADP of about 110 over the last couple weeks. We saw the ratios take another amazing jump last year after a solid 2021. Strikeouts took a dip as well, but threw 192 innings, which is outstanding. So what's your thoughts on Webb? You made a pitch mix change. It obviously changed his strikeout rate, but it also made him a pretty darn good pitcher. So how do you look at him in 2023?
Yeah, I think he's just got a really solid floor. Yeah, I mean, I love Webb. You look at the results. I mean, what he's done the last 2 years, he's just been an excellent pitcher. I mean, a 3.03 ERA last season, 2.90 last year. I mean, high ground ball rate, low walk rate. You know he's going to continue to suppress runs. Yeah, I think he's just – I would like to see, you know, a little – I would like to see some of the swinging strikes come back and maybe that strikeout rate tick back up. But, yeah, as far as, like, where he's going in drafts, I mean, I think if you are someone who, like, needs that volume – I think he's a great pick as like a third starter. There's like, I've typically, the way I've been drafting, I've been going starting pitching early. I've been getting like maybe three in the first six rounds. And so where Webb is going, I'm looking at hitters in that range that I think are pretty good values. There's some guys going later that I think have maybe similar profiles. Guys like Jordan Montgomery. I like Drew Rasmussen. I've typically been waiting on like my fourth starter, but I don't see anything wrong here with Webb where he's going.
Yeah, you summed up my I guess concerns isn't the right word, but I love Logan Webb. I've drafted him in a few leagues, depending on my build, but I prefer to wait, like you're saying, on some other guys with similar builds. But he does bring such an amazingly safe floor that I'm a huge fan of what he brings to the table, and I'm hoping the strikeouts can get a tick in the right direction again, and because he's always tinkering with his pitch mix. So we'll see what he brings out in 2023, and hopefully doesn't take too big of a step backwards, because it'll be tough to replicate a 2.9 ERA, but we'll hope for the best on that one. Let's talk about the other cast of characters. They all have a little bit of upside, also some concerns. Alex Cobb, the quote-unquote most unlucky pitcher in baseball, depending on where you looked last year. You know, we watch a lot of games, Jorge, and the defense is atrocious, and I don't see it getting a whole lot better this year. But, you know, Cobb almost threw 150 innings last year, which is what you'd love to see from him. Ratios were pretty solid. Still, strikeouts were there. What are your thoughts on Cobb at an ADP of 223?
Oh, I love Cobb. I love Cobb. I love his price right now. I love where he's going. Like, you just look at everything about his profile. I mean, 61.5% ground ball rate. You look at the underlying metrics, 2.89 xFIP. Even the ERA, 3.73 ERA. If you're getting him as your fifth, sixth starter, I mean, you'll take a 3.73 ERA. The big thing that stands out was the whip, 1.3 whip. And he's never been like a big time like whip asset. But we saw, you know, a decent walk rate. The big thing that stands out was the 336 BABIP, and you know that's in large part due to that terrible defense behind him last year. But if everything here stays the same, and you just bake in a little bit of regression to that BABIP, I think you're getting a really good value here with Alex Cobb if you can get him as like your fifth or sixth pitcher.
Yeah, he's intriguing for sure. I'm not forcing it, but I definitely like him as a later round option to kind of round out the rotation. And like the defense was so bad, we said it many times, but I also don't think they're going to be as bad. They can't be, I'd hope. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely something to think about as well. Let's talk about one of the newest Giants, Sean Manaea. This is a guy that ADP of almost 300 as a guy I've always stacked against in fantasy baseball. He just he's got his moments of being good, but man, oh man, when it goes south in a hurry. Some really sharp people like him a lot. Some other people don't like him. What's your thoughts on Sean Manaea in San Francisco?
I just haven't been able to get there with Manaea. The Giants, they have a good track record of turning guys like this around. But, I mean, he had his best season in 2021, and even that, his best all-around season, came with a 3.91 ERA. I just don't know how much upside there is here with Manaea, and I feel like when you get to this point in the draft, he's getting drafted because you know he's going to get the volume there in San Francisco, and he's pitching in a good park. And there's something to the organization being able to get the best out of these guys. I just don't know how much upside there really is here. I'm looking at guys going after Manaea that have, to me, much better skills that maybe don't have a solidified role. Guys like Braxton Garrett, guys like David Peterson, Tanner Houck. I'm kind of waiting on those guys and kind of passing over Manaea here. But I think what he's going right now, I think it's for his volume. And you kind of just hope he gives you like a 4 ERA, maybe someone you can just stream in San Francisco.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm not there either. I'd rather take some chances elsewhere than Mr. Sean Manaea, but hoping for the best. A guy going 4 picks after Manaea, another new Giant, is Ross Stripling at ADP at 302. He was really strong for the Jays last year. I rostered him in a lot of places late in the season. Ratios are great. The things that will bug people is doesn't go deep into games usually, doesn't strike out a ton of guys, but the ratios will be solid. Okay. What are your thoughts then if that's the case? Maybe it changes too. Could change. You could go deeper into games. Who knows? But what's your thoughts on him for 2023?
Yeah, I've taken a couple shares of Stripling. Like you said, he's never last year was as a career high, 134 innings. He's never really been someone who is just handed the ball every fifth day and is going out there for 5-6 innings. Never been that guy. But he was really good for the Blue Jays down the stretch last year, starting in June. He was that guy from June 6th on, had 102 innings, 2.64 ERA, 0.94 whip, 17.6% strikeout minus walk rate, all solid numbers. Now the underlying metrics would suggest that he was overperforming, but he kind of has that profile that like he's going to overperform just because has like impeccable control. He only had a 3.7% walk rate last year. That was just awesome. So, and again, he comes over to San Francisco. I think I would make, I would bet that they can help him sustain that and get the best out of him. I don't think he's going to all of a sudden be a 150, 160 inning guy. I would probably bank on him maybe fluctuating in his role like he typically has throughout the year. Making more starts than not, but maybe like still around that 130 inning mark with solid ratios.
Yep, I'm with you on Stripling. I'm intrigued by what he brings to the table yet again, and in that ballpark with that team, the pitch mix change. I'm still on board. We'll keep rolling those dice. Last but not least in this starting rotation is one Alex Wood, who's coming in with an ADP of 340 over the last couple weeks. And the thing with Alex Wood is we know how good he is. It's just a matter of how many innings does he pitch. He made 26 starts for back-to-back seasons, which was nice. He hasn't done that since 2018. Ratios got a little bad last year, but if you look at like the xFIP, it's almost a run and a half below the ERA. Strikeouts are there. Mm-hmm. So what are our thoughts on Alex Wood? Is he a value in draft season? He's a guy you're looking to take a chance on?
Yeah, I think so. He's another guy I have some shares of already, Alex Wood here. I mean, you look at pretty much everything across the board. He was the like exact same pitcher he was in 2021. The only thing here is just the results. The 5.1 ERA was, definitely don't like to see that. But aside from that, I mean, the ground ball rate right around 50%. 3.41 xFIP this year, 3.44 last year. Strikeout minus walk rate was at 18.2%. That is solid. I mean, yeah, at just about everything here that you see in Alex Wood's profile was the same as before. The things that stand out, 63.9% strand rate. So really got unlucky there. 0.315 BABIP, a little bit higher. Again, goes back to that defense. But yeah, I really like Wood here as a bounce back. Just looking at his profile, he's the same guy. And I think he's going to provide solid ratios. And if you're drafting him as like in a fab league as like your last pick, you know, he's someone that you're going to be able to stream. And if he's not healthy, then you drop him. And even in drafting holds, if he's a reserve pitcher, he's a second or third reserve pick for me, then yeah, I really don't mind it. Because I think you pretty much know that the skills are there and he's going to be solid.
Yeah, I really like him in fab leagues. Like you said, just in case something happens, you drop him, you move on, and you go that route. Like I was live streaming with Ryan Bloomfield on Tuesday night for the labor draft. He took him in his like 24th or 25th round as one of his last starting pitchers. I think it's a great spot to go and get Alex Wood if you need him. So yeah, definitely a fan of that because the upside is pretty nice for a pitcher at that range to see where things pan out with Wood. He's almost outside of a Logan Webb. He's probably one of my, I probably like him almost, I don't know if I'd like him more than Alex Cobb, but there's a chance. I like him a little, just, I don't know. There's a combination of the two that are pretty interesting there. Last but not least here, let's talk bullpen. You got Camilo Duvall, ADP around 81. There's the Taylor Rogers fans out there with an ADP around 309. We know how this bullpen usually goes, Jorge. So how do you view the Duvall-Rogers situation? Are you still comfortable drafting Duvall, or what are you thinking?
I haven't been able to get on Duvall here at this range. Now, I understand it. Just because it gets pretty ugly after you get out of the Duvall range around pick 80, there's just too many starting pitchers that I like. There's too many hitters that I like and just too many question marks for me. We saw just, yeah, a season ago in 2021 with McGee and Tyler Rogers kind of sharing that role. And I think we could see a little bit of the matchup play back here with Taylor. Against lefties, because Duvall, I mean, he was much better against right-handers. Against lefties, had just a 10.5% strikeout minus walk rate. The underlying numbers were a little worse, 3.84 xFIP. So we did see the introduction of the sinker in August that kind of did lead to some better results down the stretch. But the thing is, I mean, consistency is going to be key for him. And he's still young and he's still growing. He's still maturing. And it can very well happen. He's going to click and he could break out. I could definitely see that. I'm just not sure I'm gambling on it where he's going. We've seen him fluctuate. Like he'll have a month where he has like a 7% walk rate. Then the following month, it'll go up to 15% again. And it's just kind of up and down with him. So, yeah, I'm just, I would love to see for him to be a little bit more consistent. And then, yeah, as far as, you know, how the saves get split there, I know Farhan did say that, you know, he is going to be their primary closer, but when the games actually happen and you got maybe a couple lefties coming up, like does Kapler go to Rogers? We just don't know.
Yeah, I got a weird feeling it's like 65, 35, 70, 30 type situation. I wouldn't be surprised by it at all. So he's still the primary closer, but it's just how much is the primary part of that closing situation. So since they signed Taylor Rogers, I've had a hard time drafting Camilo Duvall. So we'll see. Hopefully we'll see if we're wrong on that one. Time will tell. Yeah. last but not least, prospects was at one point a great thing for us, Jorge. Now it's kind of a thing of the past. We have Harrison. This Kyle Harrison pitcher looks to be pretty strong, and there's some high expectations for. What are your thoughts on the prospects potential for this season? Because that's about all I can think of.
Yeah, I think as far as the prospects go in San Francisco, I mean, things were looking up for a while, but they just haven't been able to get what they thought they were getting with a lot of these guys. And I think this is going to be a really big year for the development system. I don't think we're going to see anyone rushed up too quickly. I think this is just going to be a year for all their young kids to, you know, just take their time and have good seasons in the minors and get ready for the future, because yeah, it's a big year for them to just kind of reset and get these guys right, because it's been a big struggle. I think if we've seen, you know, we've had guys like Helio Ramos, Marco Luciano, Luis Matos, you know, kind of all disappoint in the last year, where they all had, you know, were all big time prospects at some point, and you know, maybe if one of these guys had hit, we'd see Aaron Judge here, you know, in San Francisco. We'd see a Carlos Correa or something, you know, if we were able to develop like a really solid everyday player. So I do think it's going to be just a big year for them to just kind of reset and get these kids right. The big ones for me are like you mentioned, Kyle Harrison. There are the question marks in the rotation as far as the health goes, with like guys like Alex Wood and the volume with Ross Stripling. So I do think that we are going to see Kyle Harrison up in some capacity, whether it's like a multi-inning, like piggyback kind of role, or just a starter. I think that'll all depend on how he's able to handle AAA hitting how he's doing as far as his control goes, because that was his issue was walks. But the guy, he strikes out a ton of batters. One of the best left-handed pitching prospects in baseball. So really excited about Kyle Harrison. I think we are going to see him up. And then Casey Schmidt, one of the better prospects at third base. He's also going to start at AAA. So both these guys are going to start at AAA, Harrison and Schmidt. So they're not going to be too far from San Francisco. So I think we could maybe see Schmidt up in the majors. Maybe that kind of depends on how VR is handling the job, and how Schmidt's doing in AAA. But he's one that I like. I think we could see both these guys. And then maybe Isan Diaz. I know Isan Diaz has gotten a little bit of love too. Potential second baseman, infield depth there for the Giants, but as far as the prospects, I think that's about it.
Yeah, it's bleak at the moment. The season, praying for 500 type stuff. We'll see how it goes. I'm worried we might finish fourth or fifth in the West. It's going to be an interesting year if things don't pan out, but it'll be fun. There's a little bit of fantasy relevance, and that's why we play fantasy baseball, Jorge. So there's other things to root for besides the Giants the entire season. So before we head on out of here, remind everybody where they can find you and what you got going on.
Yeah, you can find me over on Twitter at @Roto_Nino. And yeah, just check out what we've got going on at GTE Fantasy, Gaining the Edge. Between the four of us, I mean, we've always got content going on. We've got a fun Discord. We're always chatting in there, giving our thoughts and stuff, and advice and just talking about baseball. So yeah, just check that out. And that's about it, man. I'm just looking forward to this season starting.
Yep, it's just around the corner. It's going to be awesome. Spring training starts the day this actually drops. There'll be spring training games going on. So hope everybody enjoys it. Thanks for listening to the 30s team series that we put together here. And Jorge, more importantly, thanks for joining me, my friend. I really appreciate it.
Of course.
Anyway, this is your Bench with Bubba, San Francisco Giants season preview. Catch you guys next time.
Battery month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Get up to a $25 gift card after rebate with the purchase of select Superstart batteries. Our professional parts people will test your old battery for free and recommend the right battery for your vehicle. For power, performance, and reliability, choose Superstart batteries only at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.